This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help. 954-966-4646.
The man, the myth, the legend. How you feeling, my friend? You feeling good?
It's great to be with you, man. It's a Friday, and so, you know, getting ready for the weekend here. Should be fun. It's preseason football, baseball. Got a lot going on. It's cool.
I'm with you. Let me ask you, Pablo, man, did the trade rumors really take him off that much of his groove? Because, you know, he was pitching pretty well, and then, you know, as we got closer to the trading deadline, the poor guy got off track, and he really has never been able to get back on track again. How is Pablo, man? Because he's a good pitcher, and I'm glad he wasn't traded, even though I still don't trust these folks long term. But I'm just wondering, with Pablo, what have you been able to unearth in that situation?
Yeah, no, I don't know that. Maybe that start before the trade deadline had something to do with it, but. He's been ambushed a lot in the first inning of some games this year. He just really hasn't pitched all that well, and then somehow, you know, sort of puts it together. I mean, in the end, I mean, his ERA, I think it's like mid threes. And so I think we could probably come to the conclusion at this point that the April that he had is probably the anomaly, and the rest of the season combined with the April is sort of the norm. So to put him in that same category as Sandy, or to say that he's an ace, in baseball is probably false. I think that's probably false.
I've always looked at him as like a three or a four in your rotation.
Yeah, maybe two on the high side, but I think that he's never thrown this many innings in a season, and so he just could simply be wearing down. And I think
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's already way above.
I didn't look at that, actually. You know what? I never bothered to go look at his total innings pitched. And that is a very important factor for a lot of pitchers as they go deeper, you know, as they're developing their arms at this level. You are right. I forgot about that. Wow.
He's only missed one start all year. And it wasn't even an arm issue. He got hit in the wrist with a ball. So, I mean, he's going to probably be rolled out here for the rest of the season and try to get to like 150, 160 innings. I think he's got a good shot at that. But maybe that has something to do with it. He would never make an excuse. He's the kind of guy that just makes no excuses.
I like him. That's why I just kind of hate to see him, you know, fall so off the cliff here down the stretch. Yeah. And yeah. I like I told you, I think he's a rotational guy, like a three or a four actually is where I think, you know, if you have a good pitching staff, I still think you can get somebody better than him in between him and Sandy to be the number two guy. But so talk to me, man. We talked a little bit about this, you know, earlier in the season when you, I believe you broke the story about like that Mattingly kind of wanted to feel wanted. I think it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that going? Are we going to see a new manager with the Marlins next year?
I think so. I think there's a pretty good chance of that happening. You know, I don't know, you know, honestly what Donnie is completely thinking, and we'll find out, I guess, at the end of the season. But it's certainly not a great sign for him to return that we're creeping in on September and they have not talked about an extension or sort of his future. Now, that has happened previously in the past with him once before. And then when it did, he signed a one-year deal, but then with an option that had to be picked up in July, which the Marlins did for this year. So, again, I would just be guessing at this point, but his choice with Miami, I think, Orlando, will probably be, if he wants to accept a front office role at the end of the season, maybe like something along the lines of, we would call it a special assistant to the general manager. That's usually the transition that some managers have. Donnie is over 60 at this point. And could he get another managerial job in the big leagues? I suppose it's possible, but I don't know that he even wants to do that. I'm just not sure at this point. So if you're asking me to make a guess, it's that they have a mutual parting at the end of the year. There's no firing, and Miami offers him some role in the front office. Will he accept? I don't know the answer to that.
I know there's only 30 teams, so that's the cliche we use with every sport. So that's why you want one of those jobs. But also, you have to think, if you're really not committed to winning, do I really want to manage this? And that's the other thing that, okay, if Mattingly moves on, which he should, because why do you even want to coach, you know, manage this team when they're really not committed? But here's the other thing now. Whoever you get, you're really not going to get a top-level manager, because top-level managers are not going to want to come here because you're not committed to winning. So this just becomes like a vicious cycle that we're...
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that. I think that any manager, Orlando... I'm sorry, any up-and-coming manager, like a bench coach of some kind, is not going to turn down the opportunity.
That's what I mean. The whole thing, yes. There's only 30 of them. I get it.
So I guess, like, if you were to ask, to your point, if I was to go by your point, would Joe Maddon come manage the Marlins? Probably not. Understood. Yeah. But he's Joe Maddon, you know? Like, I think that there's probably a long list of bench coaches and former players that would take their first opportunity to coach this team. So any managerial job is, to me, a destination job. But to your point, like, if Buck Showalter, who's now with the Mets, you know, Joe Maddon, you know, managers who have sort of been through it, who have won a World Series, would they come here? I mean, look, that's hard for me to say. I still think that, like, for example, the Rays have a bench coach who has interviewed now the last couple of years for jobs. Of course, that's going to be, you know, someone they'll probably interview again, and then we'll just have to see where they go. If that ends up happening, by the way, Mattingly could be back for all I know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. What is the plan, man? What is, you know, it's like, I hate to, like, kind of beat a dead horse almost, but are they, do they have awareness of wanting to build anything? Because at least I see, you know, I get that they're like in that Panther zone, but I give Viola and Sifu credit. They have committed long term, and they're starting to get the results, you know, on a long-term basis. What is it about this ownership group? What do they need to do? What do they need to see? Or is there no plans to really make a commitment to try to win?
I think that they have to take a deeper look at what they're doing inside their own building, and look inside their front office, and look inside their player development before anything else. Because remember, Orlando, if we're sitting here talking about this last year, and we're having that conversation, who are the leaders of the team at that point? It's Derek Jeter. It's Gary Denbo. They're both gone. A lot of the folks who have been brought in to this organization by those individuals are still here. So where's their future? Are they going to be with Kim Ng, or is Kim Ng going to have her own people? So I don't know that I know the answer to that as far as that is concerned. I know that we've talked about that they committed those two contracts to Soler and Garcia. I personally don't see them committing to contracts like that again this offseason, but the table is wide open for them to make trades, to make the team a lot better, but they have to execute those trades. So I don't have the rosiest of outlooks, I guess. I felt a lot better last offseason going into this one, and then so many changes were made to the front office in the first few months of the season that it's kind of like, I think that they may have to redo that again.
It's just... Man, I just want baseball to grow and have some success here. We got a beautiful ballpark, man, that was built for it, and most of our town doesn't really enjoy it. I almost feel like they've enjoyed it more for some kind of a concert that's come through there, or some kind of another event, not necessarily Marlins. That's how twisted I feel. Like,
yeah, I understand. I guess in the end, for it, I'm not a good example of somebody to talk about not. It because it's like, I'm going to go no matter what, and my family's a baseball family, so we're going to go no matter what. But yeah, I totally understand it. I mean, look, even if you're losing, the one good thing about the games in general is that because they don't score a lot of runs at home, you're getting in and out of there within 3 hours. And that's not a joke. Like, their pitching is good, so you're basically not having to spend 4 hours at the ballpark. But converse to that, it's like, if you go to a game, Orlando, in Denver, the Rockies are not good, and they have not been good for a long time. But you're probably going to be entertained. Like, there's going to be some home runs and some runs scored. This has been an unwatchable team for almost 2 months.
Well, and the Rockies have tried too in the past, and they've, you know,
30,000 a night, 25,000.
No, it's a great sports town, period. You know what I mean? But overall, they have tried to win over the years, and they have kept some of their good players around and things like that. These are things that those are characteristics we have rarely ever shown here. And that's been the major problem also. And here's the other thing. And I wonder, and you're in that locker room and you get to talk to the players and you get to talk to agents and things like that. You know, how much do young players also start looking around saying, yeah, this is not the place I want to be long term?
I agree with you. I think that's a factor. I do.
And I worry about that. Okay, we talk about trying to go sign free agents. That's great. But if you're not creating a winning atmosphere or a winning environment out there, I got to imagine that as much as we want to talk about some of their young players and talk about the outfielder that's injured. What's his name now? I'm brain farting.
Garcia Soler.
No. The young kid, the flashy kid, the kid that the meeting was about. Damn it.
He's just second base, Jazz.
Jazz, yeah, second base, Jazz. You know, I worry about kids like Jazz saying, why am I going to be here? Why am I going to stay here long term? This is not good for my brand. That's what they're going to say. And these are the things that you worry about, that you create an atmosphere that even when you do end up, you know, finally finding a couple gems, those gems are going to say, yeah, I'm only going to give you my 6 years and then I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, but I don't think that is much of an issue because money is going to talk and Sandy signed here long term. It's more of Orlando, how sports works, which is these players are playing for their team, but they have buddies all around the league and they're all talking about organizations and what's good and what's bad.
And the Sandy deal, he only signed that because he was so young that you got to take the money now. You were two years out to you really were going to become a free agent or anything like that. And still you were arbitration eligible. So take the money now. But this is the kind of deal that this is the one that bridges you to outright free agency. And so at the end of this deal, he can walk away with no problems, right? He could if he wanted to.
Yeah. Listen, a lot. It's hard to get players to sign here. People think that the Marlins are a destination and like Miami, some crazy destination that people want to come to. Like, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, we have not seen that. And, I guess just once LeBron came here, it's like that was just the assumption that every player.
No, but that's the Heat. That's Pat Riley. You're putting your faith in Pat Riley. That's different than the Miami Marlins. You know, you can put your faith in Pat Riley if you're LeBron James. You just saw him win with Wade and Shaq in 06. So you can put your faith in Riley that he's going to and what he's done before and all that. He's built many, many winners. That's a whole different ballgame.
But it's more of the person than the destination. Like players just want to play in South Florida, I think is a fallacy. I don't think that is true.
Amen.
I think it's the organization. It's the people that are involved in it. And look, if you are a free agent, and I'll use Kyle Schwarber, okay? Kyle Schwarber was a free agent this offseason, and there were some rumors that Miami could have potentially signed him. It has come to my attention that he had zero interest in signing with the Marlins whatsoever. Part of this is that a lot of those players, Orlando, Jock Peterson, they're on 1 year deals or 2 year deals. And then they take a look and say, well, how have free agents fared in Miami offensively? Not very good. This is not a great ballpark to hit in. I'm playing in front of almost no one every single night. It's hard to get jacked up for that sort of thing. And so when you look back and you say, well, man, there must have been someone that they could have just kept and not let go. That's where the key conversation comes in. On Starling Marte, that they had that guy signed, and you know that's the one. And I know they like Lizardo, and he could end up being a good pitcher. But Marte was a leader. He was a player Jazz respected a ton. They would hang out all the time.
He actually wanted to be here,
and he said he told me he wanted to be here. They hadn't my background went off, but they hadn't approached him about a long term extension until I talked to him. And I saw him at the All-Star game, Orlando. We still go back and we laugh, and you know, he always gives me a big hug. Like that guy, man. That was one that they had. I mean, he was on the team. They could have signed him to an extension. And then he went to free agency and they had no chance at that point. Like there's people who say that they still should have signed him in free agency. No, the Mets were just unloading that checkbook like nobody's business. So forget that. But could have extended him within the season and he could have been their starting center fielder. Would it have made a huge difference this year? I don't know. A few games maybe, but
Yeah, no, it's not going to get you in the playoffs, no. but at least it would be a much more, at least a little more entertaining team.
He's a good player. He's great.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And if you have an opportunity to keep as many good ones as you can, I mean, listen, when you took over, the fact that you traded Yelich, when that salary was very manageable,
that's just a whole other story.
Yeah, that was a whole other story. But still, that was just kind of weird right from the get-go. You know,
I mean, he told Mike Hill, I think it was at the time, that if you trade Stanton, don't call me ever again, or something along. I don't know. I wasn't in the conversation, but something along those lines.
Wow.
And then, that made its way to Jeter. And then what did Jeter want to do at that point? You know,
right.
Kidding me? I'm Derek Jeter.
Right.
Yeah. You tell me what to do.
Yeah. You go talk to me like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christian, here's what I got for you. I got Milwaukee for you. Good luck.
Enjoy the brats and the beer.
Anyone the MVP?
And don't go down the slide. What the hell is that guy broke? That guy broke his wrist and ribs and everything. Come on, bro. And he was screaming like a little girl down that slide the entire time.
Once you're going to do that, you got to know that there's something to be, you got some trouble coming to you. I mean, it was pretty obvious. He was going fast down that thing. Like, he was very unprepared. As I would be too. Going to be 50 years old. You're 50 years old. I mean,
I'm 55 and I'll ride that and land perfectly on a dot without busting my wrist and ribs. Come on. And I'm not going to be screaming like a little girl down that slide. Come on, bro. That was just weak. Yeah. That part was weak. He was just screaming like it was like he was terrified.
I mean, I thought after though he wore it well. He showed his cast and everything.
So. Yeah, he came back. I give him credit. He did finish off the job. Yeah. So I give him credit. But once you've been down that, like I talked about this yesterday, once you've been down the Wet and Wild straight, that Bernie's Brewers slide is. Come on.
I'm not big on that sort of stuff. But yes, I understand. You're. I know you love going to those parks and stuff like that. Your daughter's getting old though to go to that, right?
Yeah, she's 22 now. So yeah, she's not doing those things anymore. My wife doesn't want to do those either at all. All right, follow him on Twitter at Craig Mish. Catch him on the Sports Grid. Tell him about the Sports Grid, Craig Mish.
Yeah, football season's coming, so a lot of our content is 11 a.m. fantasy football previews now till 12, and then I'm on every day 2 to 3 Eastern. On a show called Newswire, where we go around the country and talk about places that have legalized sports betting, which are coming, which may happen, may not happen. We talk about Florida a ton, California, and then the places that are legal, like New York, New Jersey, Kansas, by the way, going to be legal in 2 weeks, too.
We had it here.
We had it for like 2 months.
And it slipped right out of our hands.
Did we really have it, though? Did we really have it? I don't think so.
We kind of had it. Hey, listen, I ended up winning money with that app. So it was going well for me right now. I mean, listen, I'm on a streak right now with my liquor split matchups of the night. I'm 27-14-1. Okay? That's last 42 games. That's a pretty good streak there.
65%, yeah.
That's pretty good right there against the spread. So, yeah, no, it was actually going well for me on that app. Damn, that was fun.
It was going well for Calvin Ridley, too.
All right, so Sports Greg Swings and Mishes also is the podcast on the Marlins. Make sure you subscribe to that and follow him on Twitter. Much love, Craig. We'll catch up next week, my friend. Appreciate
it. Yeah, one other thing, I would, if you haven't seen it yet, ESPN Plus has the captain. The whole series, and the seventh episode is the one that I'm in. I was in a lot more than I thought I was going to be, so you could check that out too.
Well, I will watch it tonight because I have not watched that stuff.
Yeah, so I was in it a lot. I'll
watch that tonight this weekend. And what was the other thing? Oh, I got to watch the Manti Te'o one.
Oh, so I know. I'm going to watch that this weekend too.
Those two things I got to watch this weekend. The wife just had an operation, so she's up in the bed right now for the rest of the weekend. So it's perfect for us to watch a whole bunch of things together.
There you go. All right. Well, give my best to her and your daughter, and I'll talk to you next week.
You got it, my brother. Much love. There you go. The great Craig Mish. We love him. Follow him on Twitter at Craig Mish. Let's step out of the batter's box.